You guys can start turning to 1 Corinthians 7. Yeah, and say, God's been showing me some things lately about kind of recognizing where people start out at and remembering as a new believer that we're considering things, we're thinking about things that maybe we've forgotten what it was like as a new believer. He wants us to open our arms and welcome people to Him. He doesn't want us to stay to ourselves. He wants us to welcome other people to Him. And with that, we have to guard ourselves and make sure that we don't cause people to stumble. We want to come alongside and encourage them, not discourage them. The world's going to discourage them. But God is full of encouragement, and full of hope, full of grace. And there's a battle over every single soul. The enemy, the first thing that he wants to do is to tell people that, no, you don't belong there. That's not where you ought to go. That's not the people you should be around. They're not accepting you. No. God wants them to know He accepts them. He understands where they're coming from. That He's not looking for somebody to fit a mold. Let's face it, I would not have fit the mold if God was looking for somebody to fit the mold. God molds us. That's what happens. Because we're all made in the image of God. Regardless of the background that He calls people out of, there's a life that He wants us to walk. So in 1 Corinthians 7, starting in verse 17, "But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while is free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state which he was called." Let God bless the reading of His word. The mentality of the time that this was written was that God was only using people of a certain status. Right before this passage, Paul was addressing people that thought they needed to change their marital status because that's how God was using people. Just because they accepted Jesus and maybe the other spouse didn't. But let's break what we just read down verse by verse a little bit. So in verse 17, it said, "But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches." It's kind of a mouthful, so look at the Message version actually of it right now, because I like the way that they put it in this one. "And don't be wishing you were someplace else, or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. God, not your marital status, defines your life. Don't think I'm being harder on you than the others. I give the same counsel in all the churches." So one thing to think here is start right where we're called right now. God's placed us here in Rochester. in Fulton County and the surrounding counties. He wants to do things right here. As long as there's people needing God in this area, He's called for the church to be active right here. He's called for us to minister right where we are. Many of us weren't saved in a big city. Many of us are small town folk. I relocated here from Michigan, but I came from a small town in Michigan. I was looking for a job in a small town. The last thing I wanted was to be driving towards Detroit, driving 45 minutes, going through all kinds of traffic. I didn't like traffic. I like small town. That's where God's called all of us here right now. We're not a big place, but He's called us right where we are. One of the great lies, I know that's an oxymoron, great and lie, but one of the great lies, one of the big lies that the enemy tells people is that they need to get cleaned up before going to church. But that's the thing, is if we're waiting for them to get cleaned up, they're never going to get here. Because being around people and them realizing that, hey, they're not as all there as what I thought. I would say, when we were first saved, we thought, man, everybody has it all together. We are far from it. Still far from it, right? But that's what the enemy does, is he comes in and tells you, you don't belong there. That's where we can come alongside and love them, where they can realize that, hey, we're normal people. I still love a truck pull here and there, you know? I'll say, we're normal people. A lot of the guys, we still go out and shoot guns. Still shovel cow manure, clean out the chicken coop. God can have fun, too. One thing we have to watch out, though, is that we don't try to do Holy Spirit's job for Him. We can't change people as they come to Jesus. We got to let Him do it. Giving a list of do's and don'ts. Don't drink. Don't listen to a certain kind of music. Don't do this. Don't do that. When you first come to Christ, you're looking for answers. You're not looking for a list of things to do and don't. You're looking for somebody to say, hey, let me introduce you to the one who has the answers. Because everybody's going to be going through something different. Just trying to change the outward works isn't going to change the inward heart. God changing the inward heart is going to affect the outward works. Just because somebody comes to know Christ doesn't mean the world's going to instantly see them as a change of who they are. You know, Paul knew this firsthand. He persecuted the Christians. And he even had people, once he got saved, that questioned his conversion, questioned the change in him, if he was doing it for bad motives or alternative motives. He had to deal with it for a little while afterwards, too. Being a Christian doesn't change your external circumstances either. People come to Jesus in prison, even. And just because they've accepted Him after they've done something else doesn't mean that their situation is going to change, their circumstances are going to change. But the inward change in them can affect far more. Other people can see a change in them. They can minister to other people in prison as well. The people on the parole board may recognize that they're not the same as when they went in. out of that inward change, grace will start flowing, though. Favor will start flowing to them. And God will open doors that only He can open. Now, I know none of you guys are in that situation right now, but let me just remind you, don't despise where you are at this moment. God made you on purpose for a purpose. God made you on purpose for a purpose. It's no accident that you're here. It's no accident you're in this county, in this city, in this church. God's called you where you are right now. I seem to be using a lot of movie references for illustrations. I promise I don't watch that much TV. In fact, I actually watch very little, it seems like. But I was reflecting on Facing the Giants movie, another Kendrick Brothers movie. It's a football movie where it's actually a high school football coach is kind of the main character. And he was struggling with his purpose. He was struggling with why he was still the head coach, even though they were not having winning seasons at all for many years in a row. And he's struggling, and this other guy that would come in and pray for the school, pray for revival at the school, pray for the people, pray over all the lockers. He, like many prophets of the Old Testament, he just came in and had a word for the coach. And he read him Revelation 3:8, which is, "I know your works. See, I've set you before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name." Then he continues to say, "The Lord is not through with you yet. You still have an open door here, and until the Lord moves you, you're to bloom right where you're planted." And then, of course, like a lot of prophets of old, he basically just finishes up, "Yeah, God just told me, why don't we tell you that," and walks out. But just like that, God has planted us here. He's created an open door for us here. And until God moves us, we're to bloom right where He's planted us. Continuing in verse 18 of our original scriptures, "Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not become circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called." So circumcision here was just an example of what they were bickering about in those days. In fact, if you wanted to read it for yourself, in Acts 15, it talks about how Paul and Barnabas were having a dispute over this exact thing. How much, whether or not somebody needed to be circumcised or not, and not wanting to let it divide them more, they went to Jerusalem to talk to the other apostles about it. Circumcision was part of the covenant that God made with Abraham. The covenant that was fulfilled with Jesus. It wasn't just the circumcision that they were disputing over. It was a lot of the laws that they were facing in those days. It was a few weeks ago, but we talked about that. There were 613 laws in the old Jewish law, in the Mosaic law that they had at the time. 613 laws that put a yoke and a burden that none of the ancestors or the disciples themselves were able to fulfill it, that none of them were able to bear it. So what the disagreement was over was, it was focusing on the God's grace that God gives them and being circumcised. The grace that God gives them and not eating pork. And any of the other laws that they had there. So it's easy to understand those saying that they needed to be circumcised to be part of what God's people were before. But there was also the dissension of whether they needed to shed off everything from being a part of the Mosaic covenant and try to become uncircumcised. And actually, there were many Jews that in the time period between Malachi and the New Testament that they were actually persecuted in that time frame. Between 200 and 150 BC, Antiochus IV actually persecuted the Jews greatly. And they were persecuting them, and circumcision was one of the key giveaways that they were of Jewish descent. So there were many that were trying to mutilate themselves to become uncircumcised in that time frame. And then, of course, they revolted, which is called the Maccabean Revolt, if you've studied anything along those lines. Kind of nerded out on you guys there, but you guys will still love me, right? But so what they're saying is that circumcision isn't necessary and removing the old signs of the old covenant wasn't necessary either. What Paul's trying to say here is don't worry about the little things. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about where you came from. Paul even at times recognizes that in his past, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, that he tried to hold to the law stricter than many others, that he studied it so much. What he usually says there is that, hey, yeah, I've got a past. But with the past, God says, that doesn't matter. So you want to look at a modern example of that, tattoos. Let's face it, having a tattoo is not going to keep anybody from getting to heaven. Right? I'll say, especially if that tattoo was long before they ever got saved, you know? I mean, there's so many things that before you ever got saved, it means nothing. I'll say, today's society says, hey, at some point you need to get a tattoo. I'll say, I remember one of my brothers, he came home from college one term, and he showed my dad his tattoo, and my dad's like, huh, yeah, mine used to be legible and actually have color at one time. It says paratrooper, but I never knew what it said because you couldn't read it. Oh. But today's society, though, says that, hey, that's something that you do. And for some people, tattoos are really just a hobby that they have. They have extra money, and that's what they spend it on. They get another tattoo, another marking on their body, and, I mean, I spent a lot of money on trucks before I was saved. And by the way, don't ever truck pull with your daily driver. Yep. I'm the captain of the smoked clutch pulling team. So more than once I've smoked it and then been driving to work. Man, this is rough. Where was I? Oh yeah, tattoos. We're going off script today. So with tattoos, though, that's one of those things that's something that I know people struggle with. I'll say I've had conversations with some of my coworkers, and the one he has basically full sleeves, and he's very nervous about coming to churches because he thinks that people are going to be looking at that. He feels like they're going to be judging him. But that's the thing, is we just need to love on them. Everybody's got a past. Who cares if they have tattoos? And so I remember shortly after we were saved, we heard a story of somebody going to another church in town even, where somebody told them that because of their tattoos, they're not going to be going to heaven. Nothing could be further from the truth. And so that's just one thing. But there's many things with people's past lifestyles. They might have where they were partying all the time. They might have where they were living alternative lifestyles, whatever. We can't condemn them, though. God loves them. And God wants to be the one to change them from the inside out. Keeping track of the past is not what matters at all. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. So what are God's commandments? Matthew 22. Starting verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love the neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then love others as yourselves. Really, the second one flows out of the first one. When we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, then we want to love others. Look at Texas right now. Even with what's happened down there, the churches are rallying behind people, showing God's love, helping where they can. No one could have expected what happened down there. You know, hurricanes, okay, that general area, you know, they get them. But they don't get cold for that long. They don't get cold for that long and have a massive power failure. And then, like many areas, like with early COVID, stores get picked clean. And then people don't have anything that they're looking for. Suddenly, the 10 inches of snow we got this last week doesn't look that bad. You know, we cleared out pretty quickly. Within a day, everything was cleared out. I'll say, but they're dealing with lasting effects down there. I hope we can show God's love like they are down there. We don't need a disaster to have it happen either. We're planted right here where we are, and we can love our neighbors. 1 Corinthians 7:21. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can't be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. Message translation. Were you a slave? Slavery is no roadblock to obeying and believing. I don't mean you're stuck and can't leave. If you have a chance at freedom, go ahead and take it. I'm simply trying to point out to you that under your new master, you're going to experience a marvelous freedom you never would have dreamed of. On the other hand, if you were free when Christ called you, you experience a delightful enslavement to God you never would have dreamed of. I kind of like the way that's put. Never would have dreamed of being a slave to God. But it's one of the greatest things in the world. Whether you've been saved for 40 years or 4 hours, we're able to show God's love. We're able to show God's kingdom right where we're planted. If God puts a door before us, to move or change to get out of a situation that's hurting us spiritually, that's okay. It's important to follow His prompting. But if you're not at the point where and there's not an open door that He's put before you, that's okay too. Because we're not a slave to our circumstances or our jobs or what's going on around us. We have freedom in Christ. It extends past anything we're going through. You know, I think about where Paul says that he's learned how to praise in both an abasing and abounding. It's great when we're abounding, but when things aren't going our way, that's when it's hard. We can do a good job at our job and glorify God in it. We can show up on time and have a positive attitude. We can help out even when things don't fit our job description. As Colossians 3:17 says, whatever we do it in the name of the Lord. Where you're at isn't a roadblock to serving. It's a platform. It's an audience or a relationship with people that we wouldn't have otherwise had that God lined up. Continuing in verse 23, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Out of the Passion Translation this time. Since a great price was paid for your redemption, stop having the mindset of a slave. Brothers and sisters, we must remain in close communion with God, no matter what our situation was when we were first called to follow Jesus. It's not just a literal sense that Paul was warning us not to become slaves of men, but also spiritually. We can't allow ourselves to be influenced incorrectly. We have to listen to God ourselves and discern from Him. We need to remain close with God, spend time with Him, fellowship with Him. Quote from Charles Spurgeon, I do not follow even good men slavishly. Do not say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Calvin, I am of Wesley. Did Calvin redeem you? Did Wesley die for you? Who is Calvin and who is Wesley but ministers by whom you believed as the Lord gave unto you? Do not so surrender yourself to any leadership that you rather follow the man than his master. I do not follow anybody if he goes Christ's way. I will follow anyone if he goes Christ's way. I will follow nobody by the grace of God if he does not go in that direction. Parts of that he paraphrased where it says, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, where Paul recognized that some people were following man instead of God. Spurgeon mentions two other people that were influential around his time, John Calvin and John Wesley. But he warns not to follow them, but instead Jesus, who was their master. Spurgeon, in a nutshell, he sums it up saying, if they follow Christ, follow them. If they stop following Christ, nope, not going that way. It's caution of putting man on a pedestal here. The expectation of God is up here. The expectation of man is down here. When you put expectation of man down here, you won't fall far. When you put the expectation of man up here, it'll hurt. Expect God up here, He'll never let you down either. It doesn't take much to realize that still happens today, too. It seems like in the last 3 years, there have been a lot of well-respected large church pastors or worship leaders or authors or other leadership in Christianity that's walked away from God or had sin exposed. Ravi Zacharias is the latest of those that has come out that he had some pretty serious hidden sin that was being hidden. And that can hurt a lot of Christians. That can hurt a lot of people that they follow man so much that then when something like that happens, they get hurt. And it hurts and makes other people stumble. Don't get me wrong. I mean, God uses men of God. God uses people. But it's important to realize and discern what's God and not to think higher of the man than you do of God. Ricky, can I pick on you a little bit? Can I pick on you a little bit? I love you. All right. Ricky actually was an encouragement a couple weeks ago because we were talking about Robert Morris and how we were using his series on Wednesday night and that. And Ricky actually even reminded me that it's not Robert Morris that we're listening to. It's God. It's God, how he's using that man. I just wanted to pick on you, but it was a great example that I just had. It fits so well. Amen. So we trust in God and not in man. Run everything through Holy Spirit. Even what I say from the pulpit. I'll say, kind of joking around this morning, but run everything that I say through Holy Spirit as well. Because God will reveal things. All I am is a conduit. All I am is just speaking what God's telling me to speak. God is perfect. No man is. Paul recognized it, though, when he sums up and says that we need to try to show people Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Don't let others influence you. Don't let the world have you compromise on your beliefs. It's a lesson that we've been trying to instill in Addison here this last year or so, because she's getting ready to navigate middle school before too long. And kids are at the age where they're trying to figure things out. They're trying to figure out a pecking order. They're trying to figure out and see what they can push off on others. But we need to know what our absolutes are. We need to know how we conduct our own lives. How to have a gentle answer and not turn others away. God wants us to remain with him in the calling of which we're called. Circumcised or uncircumcised. Slave or free. He wants us to continue because he's made us this way. He made us on purpose, for a purpose. God will show us how to be used right where we are. He'll show us what to shake off. He'll reveal what to change. Nobody ever told me I needed to stop drinking. God did. Nobody ever told me to stop listening to my old kind of music. God put a desire for something else in my heart. The language that I used to use, only God could have removed that from my mouth. We can come alongside new believers. Not try to push them too hard, but just to encourage them. Our past is a testimony of what God's already done. Our future is a testimony of what God's still going to continue to do. We got to let God do what only he can do. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for calling us right where we are. God, we recognize the call that you have on our lives. We recognize what you are planning to do in this area. Lord, we're excited to be a part of it. God, we pray for awareness for what to do next. We pray for our eyes to be open. God, we want to look at people through your eyes. We thank you, Father. Lord, have your way. Do what you've always wanted to do. Let us be a welcoming presence to people, God. We love you, Lord. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.